I've written on the board, the greatest force. So just I'd like a little conversation with the congregation here. There's a lot of physical forces out there. Name some great forces that you can think of. Someone say gravity? Yes. Gravity is a great force, isn't it?
Yes.
It helps us stick to the ground, doesn't it? If we didn't have gravity, what would happen to us? It'd be chaos, isn't it? When they go out in space, they have to be very careful to be tethered to something. Because if not, they could be lost in space because there is no gravity. It's a very dangerous thing. We're thankful for that. Does anybody else have an idea? What is a great force that we contend with?
Wind.
The wind. A very great force, isn't it? You see the devastation of a tornado? How many miles an hour can those things spin? Incredible. 100? 200? Causes great devastation. I remember there was a tornado came through Neosho when I was just a girl. I lived in Oklahoma at that time, but we heard a lot of stories about it later. And one of them was a man, they had retrieved a piece of wood, and that piece of wood had a blouse wedged within the grain. And they had taken a vise to hold the piece of wood to pull the blouse out, and it could not. It was like it was melded into the wood. That's a force we can't understand, isn't it? It's a great force. It's almost like they melded together. How do you do that? It's a great force. Any other forces of nature that we contend with? Someone say
water.
Water. Water. And when it comes, there's not anything we can do about it. We can go find shelter and safety until it's over with. But its devastation is when it's displaced and put somewhere it doesn't belong, it's going to be there. You're not going to spoon it out with a spoon or a bucket. It's a great force, isn't it? Any other forces?
Fire.
Incredible. Incredible that it could actually disintegrate and annihilate something to a great big, say, a great big brush pile. And when you're done, you might have a cup full of ashes. Incredible force, isn't it? Incredible force. Well, I want us to look into the Word of God because He has a force that is even greater than those things that we just named. Those forces of nature. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. I'd like for us to read a little bit there. 1 Corinthians 13, we always call it the love chapter. It talks about charity. And I want to tell you, charity is the greatest force. It is the greatest force. If you can look into what love or divine, it's not just love. It's divine love. It is all the love that you have, plus all the love that God has. In other words, it is not humanly possible to have charity. But it's godly possible. You have to have God in order to have charity. It has been, maybe our English language has changed it a little bit. And charity we think of as a donation to the Hannah home or a Goodwill store. But charity in the Word of God doesn't mean that. It means something so much greater. And it is indeed the greatest force. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not divine love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, if I have a great intelligence and I'm able to understand the mysteries of life, of nature, to break it down, you think of all the sciences that are out there and what they have discovered, the Lord made. That is incredible, what is out there. And knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, divine love, I am nothing. And you think about that. That faith is a great, if it can remove mountains, that is an intense force, isn't it? But if I don't have divine love, it is nothing. Because that is indeed the greatest force. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, divine love, it profiteth me nothing.
Amen.
Charity, divine love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, divine love, never faileth. I love going to Hobby Lobby. It's one of my favorite places to go. And they have the little scriptures on a board that you can buy to decorate your home with. And it always says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. And I've never bought one. Because it's more than that. Love is so superficial. It's so small. It's so finite. And I wish they could put charity. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Because that divine love is a force that is greater than all forces. And I'm thankful for it. You think of our Lord, when he was on the cross, do you realize it was not the nails that held him there? It was the divine love he had for every soul. Every soul. And that's what held him there, is the divine love. He exhibited it all the time. And because it was God's love, it's beautiful, but it's strong. It's divine. So I want us to examine the places that we can use this divine love and see if we can't make a difference in our lives, in our homes, in our congregation, in the world around us. I'd like for us to go to Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, it says in the very last, see that, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I've thought about that. We live in a world that marriage is attacked on every side, it seems like. But the Lord never meant for it to be destroyed. He meant it to be, if you notice, he patterned his church after a marriage. It was so beautiful to him. It was such a perfect pattern to him. And when a husband divinely loves his wife, then the wife can't help but reverence her husband. See that, how that works? When he gives himself completely for his family, for his wife. We live in a society where men and women are selfish. They're not real interested in the other party. They're interested in what they can get out of it for themselves. But when you turn that around and apply that charity element, it changes everything. It's because it is the greatest force. And you know that when you mention, there's the scripture that says, it lists all these things, and it says, against such there is no law.
Right.
You can be put in jail for congregating. You can be put in jail for worshiping the Lord in a place where you weren't supposed to. But when they get you in that cell, can they make you stop loving the Lord?
No.
See how strong that force is? They might whip you. They might beat you. They might burn you at the stake. But can it stop you? See how strong that force is? It's incredible, isn't it? It is the greatest force.
Praise God.
Ephesians 6, chapter in the fourth verse. It says, and ye fathers, or I'm going to say ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Divine love. You put that in there. and it changes everything. But I'm here to tell you, you try to do it on your own, and you will fail as a parent miserably. So thus, you have to have the Lord's help. You have to have Him combine His love with you and bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've thought a lot about that. When we have children, we don't have a manual. And every child is different. And yet, we do have a manual. We have one right here. And I'm thankful for that. So here is our manual right here. It's telling us, use divine love on that. Don't punish your children because you're embarrassed. Do you remember where it says it vaunteth not itself? It is not puffed up. I don't want to make you an example because I'm embarrassed by your actions. When you throw yourself as a child on the floor and have a tantrum, there has to be a correction because of my divine love for your future. It is not that I'm the big bad parent and you're the little bitty helpless child and I'm going to beat it out of you. That's incorrect. But when you love them, you're wanting their futures to be bright. You're wanting their futures to be successful. And thus you have to say, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because it will cause you such great grief ahead. It will cause you such great sorrow ahead. So by the help of the Lord, I want to use His divine love and that charity element and understand how to bring them up in the nurture. Nurture, you think of that. It's digging around. It's watering. It's fortifying. It's fertilizing. You nurture a plant. You're not going to neglect it. And your children are the same way. Look at them as great possibilities. Lord, we want them to be a good man or a good woman for you. We want them to be raised to be adults that will be an asset to society, not a menace to society. Lord, I want to be able to do that. Provoke not your children to wrath. And I'm thinking of, have you seen parents that tease their children to a point that the child gets mad, and then they correct him because that was not the way you should do it, when really it was the parent that started it?
Yeah.
That's not divine love. That's not divine love. The Lord is wanting you to use His element, His divine love, His element of nurturing and admonition of the Lord. I'd like for us to go to 1 Timothy 5 and 8. We have an obligation to first ourselves and the Lord, our spouses, and that's our next responsibility, our marriages. Our next responsibility is to our children. Then our next is to our family, our extended family. 1 Timothy 5 and 8, it says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." But if any provide not for his own family, especially of those of his own household, his own loving family, his extended family maybe, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There are people who can actually, how do you say, they actually busy themselves with so many projects that they forget the needs of their family. Have you ever seen that? Now, this is strong words, and we look at it and think, well, I would never do that. But you can actually neglect your family helping someone else. And sometimes we see that when we feel like we're doing the will of the Lord. I want to say, quote, unquote, will of the Lord. That we're doing the will of the Lord, and it causes us to neglect our own household, we failed. We didn't use divine love on that issue. We didn't use divine love on our nurturing and admonition of our family. I've thought in terms, you could, if you gained the whole world and lost your own family, it's not what the Lord intended. If you were neglectful to your own household because you were busy doing all this other, the Lord has a proper balance for that. He does. It doesn't mean that you can't go anywhere. Yes, you can. But make sure that the needs, the emotional needs of your family, the divine love is there, that they understand that I am nurtured and I have been admonished, not just admonishing only, but I've been nurtured and I love this way and I want this way. And that they look at it and say, that's what I want to do too. Help us to be very careful about that charity element. Help us to be lavish with it. Help us not to be selfish with it. Help us to understand that the world is watching us, and they're watching how we treat. I've seen that situation where they can treat the saints so well, but can't even treat their own home well. I mean, I don't know how to say it, but they could treat the saints well, but not their own family. But that's not what the Lord intended. That's not using that divine love. It's not that greatest force issue there. I'd like for us to go to John, the 13th chapter. John, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And I want to go back and read that again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye divinely love one another, as I have divinely loved you, that ye also divinely love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my people, ye are my disciples, ye are the church of God, if you have divine love one to another." I've thought of this. And many times we want to announce to the world where the truth is. Maybe a name badge that says, "Hello, I'm a Christian." Or maybe a t-shirt that says, "I believe in God." Or a bumper sticker. We want to announce to the world. We want to let them know that we are a child of God. Do you know this pronounces you a child of God? "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Because the world is watching how you all treat each other. And they're going to say, "I don't want any part of that." Or they're going to say, "Do you know, when I walked through those doors, I felt so loved. I didn't choose salvation, but I felt so loved." That's what we want the report to be. That's what we want it to be, that somewhere along the line, that if they didn't make that turn towards salvation, that somewhere along the line they remember, those people love. Those people loved each other. I didn't see any dissension among them. They had opinions, yes, but they were willing to lay those opinions aside and love one another. Just love, just divinely love. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And the 43rd verse. Something we're all familiar with. When Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. I want to say he changed all the rules, but he didn't. He didn't. Those rules didn't change at all. He fulfilled them all. He said, "I wasn't here to cast down those old commandments, but I'm telling you, it's different now." And what he was saying was, there's a heart issue that we're dealing with here. It's more than that surface thing that y'all have dealt with for years, and you've killed all the animals to deal with that surface problem. I'm going to deal with a deeper one, and it'll be effective. I'm going to make the divine sacrifice, and it'll be effective. Because it was divine love that did that. Matthew 5 and 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That was the old law. But Jesus said, I'm the fulfillment of that law, and it's different now. And he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't do it on your own. You're going to have to call down God's divine love to do that. You can, by His divine love, by His charity element, you can love your enemies. It gives you the ability to bless them that curse you. It helps you to do good to them that hate you. And it helps you to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And once again, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, that the world can know that this is Christ. The way you treat that person, you know, it's easy to love the lovable. But in our own strength, we can't love the dirty. We can't love the unlovable. We can't love the annoying. We can't love the extra grace required. But by His divine love, we can. We can. And it was the ugly and it was the unlovable that the Lord came to save just as much as the lovable and the pretty. The Lord came for all souls. And He wanted us to look through His eyes at every soul. And realize, do you know the Lord created them? They are God's creation, and I am to respect that creation by loving them, even when they've hurt me, even when they've done despitefully used me, even when they've cursed me. I can't do it on my own. You try to do it on your own, and all I can say is, Lord, help you, because you're going to cry some bitter tears over your failure, because you can't do it. You cannot do it on your own. But with God, you can. I said, with God, all things are possible. And it is. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? We have clubs, we have events, we have all kinds of things that do that all the time. They pat one another on the back. They like one another. But if ye salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This was the definition of perfection, was whether you apply the divine love in your life and on everyone around you. I think that covered everybody. You know, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your extended family, the saints of God, and then the world. We got a lot to do, don't we? But you know, by His help, we can do it. We can do it. And I'm thankful for that greatest force, because you think of the sun, the forces of the universe. You think of the sun. When the Lord destroys this, it won't be here anymore. You think of the fire and the wind and the water, which all pertains, and the gravity, all pertains to this world. But when the Lord allows that to melt and be annihilated by fervent heat, it says, it'll disappear. It'll be gone. That is not the greatest force then. So what will be the greatest force in the universe only will be the divine love. And I thank the Lord for that. I desire you pray for me.